I could, I would like to just give an introduction to the viewer. I'm speaking with Attorney Hugh Manchester. Today's date is November 3rd, 1975. We're in his office in the Union Bank Building in Youngstown, Ohio. And the time is approximately 1:30 p.m. Mr. Manchester, of course, was very much active and involved in the transition of the YMCA properties to the Youngstown State University. Youngstown University at that time, perhaps it was Youngstown State University. He was just, he was going to comment on a few of those things, and I'd like to ask him a couple of other questions in conjunction with the university, if you would, Mr. Manchester.
Well, my first connection with the educational institution was through becoming a trustee of the YMCA. My uncle, Leroy A. Manchester, who died in June of 1930, had been president of the YMCA for approximately 10 years or so prior to his death. And at that time, Leonard Skaggs was executive secretary of the YMCA. Following my uncle's death, I was put on the board of the YMCA, and it was in my first year of practice as a lawyer. For some years prior to that time, the YMCA had been conducting what was known in its constitution and code of regulations as an educational portion of its work. And that had gone on for some years and had varied from time to time in nature and extent. Sometime in the 1920s, someone had started using the name of Youngstown College for that YMCA work. Whether or not it was technically Youngstown College, I doubt. About 1930 or 31, a man by the name of Homer Nearpath, who had been heading up that educational work for the YMCA, left that work. And Howard Jones was employed to take it on. And there was talk at that time as to the name under which that work would be carried on. Some people had referred to the Youngstown Institute of Technology. Some called it the Youngstown College. Prior to that time, in 1929, the Young Men's Christian Association had started a campaign to raise $1 million in Youngstown for approximately six or seven YMCA purposes, one of which was to build a branch for the colored members of the YMCA, one of which was to remodel the central branch of the YMCA on Champion Street, another of which was to build a building in which to house the educational work of the YMCA. Sometime in 1929, at the dinner, which was to start the public campaign for subscriptions to that fund, they were able to announce that the fund was already oversubscribed and that there would be no work for the workers to do. The pledges to that fund had been made payable over a 3-year period. Before that 3 years was up, the stock market crashed and the Big Depression had hit. And it became almost impossible for a lot of individuals to pay their pledges. But most of this $1 million had been pledged by corporations and large givers. And while they had some difficulties in meeting their pledges, for the most part, they were paid. Turned out that Leonard Skaggs, the executive secretary of the YMCA, died. And for some period following that, there was no president of the YMCA, and Paul Davies carried on. He was a secretary at that time and was later made executive secretary. James E. Bennett, Judge Bennett, who was a member of our law firm here, and Franklin Powers, who was another member of the law firm here, were both trustees of the YMCA. Judge Bennett was, I believe, a vice president of that organization. And William E. Bliss was also a vice president of the YMCA. Building costs were low in the beginning of the Depression. They thought it advisable to go ahead with the construction to take advantage of the building, low building costs insofar as they could. They had already acquired title to the Wick property at the corner of Lincoln and Wick Avenue. That was where they planned to build what is now known as Jones Hall. That was constructed using money derived from pledges to that campaign. In the meantime, Howard Jones had come on. And I've forgotten the number of students, but it was a small school, but it began to grow. I think there were less than 500 students at that time.
Mostly in the technical trade, I might add, I think, if that's not.
Probably in the technical trade. There was talk from time to time about incorporating. And finally, by 1937, the YMCA caused the Youngstown College incorporated as an Ohio corporation, not for profit. In the setup at that time, there was a board of governors established. Well, really, the board of governors had been established prior to 1937. In the early 30s, and that was done in order to get some non-Christian interested in the management of the educational enterprise. And they succeeded in getting some prominent Catholic claimant, I believe some Catholic priests, and some prominent Jewish claimant on that board of governors, and got them interested in the educational work. The YMCA collected the tuitions that were charged, and the teachers, professors were paid from the YMCA funds. That continued, as I recall it, until I believe it was 1944. But in 1937, they saw fit to incorporate the college as a separate corporation. But the members of the non-profit corporation and the trustees of that non-profit corporation were the same individuals, and under the code of regulations, they were chosen by the trustees of the YMCA, so that the YMCA retained ultimate control. In the meantime, as enrollment was growing, the college was getting bigger. Time came later on when they used to say that the seats never got cool, because there were students in them from early morning until late evening, and every place in the school was occupied. And it paid its own way. Meantime, the institution was trying to get more and more accreditation. Accrediting agencies frowned upon YMCA control. Finally, I think it was in 1944, we had to amend the Constitution and Code of Regulations of both the university and the YMCA, and we had to have a court action to get permission court with the approval of the Attorney General of Ohio to permit the YMCA to convey title to the real estate to a corporation called Youngstown College. But the Code of Regulations of Youngstown College still continued to provide that the majority of its trustees had to be either trustees of the local YMCA or YMCA connected. And that there were some changes in the size of the board of the college from time to time. I was here in the law firm with Judge Bennett, Powers, and some of the legal work fell on me to draft some of the documents that were used in some of those changes. And it was not until after, I'd say sometime after 1950, that they took out of the Code of Regulations the provision that the majority had to be YMCA connected.
Out of curiosity, did it remain the majority of the people on the board YMCA affiliated people?
I think it did.
I would think they would have too.
Just because they were interested in good citizens of the community.
Sure.
And, but there were others on the board also. And along about 1950, the size of the board was cut down. I think that I ceased to be a trustee at that time. although after 1940 I had been secretary and had maintained the minutes. Nathan Folsom had been secretary of the college of 1937 up until I was elected, I think about 1940. And in 1956, as I recall, the name was changed from the Youngstown College to the Youngstown University. Along in 1966, January of 1966, Howard Jones announced his intention to resign as president. At the time when a new president could be obtained. In the meantime, James Rhodes had been elected governor of Ohio. He was interested in higher education. He had caused some legislation to be enacted. The state was ready to invest about $5 million in the construction of a building on the campus, which was the first engineering building here on Lincoln Avenue. And I remember working out the agreement, the deed to the state and the lease back to the old university, because it was actually the state of Ohio that built that building, but they leased it back to the old university. And it was the groundbreaking ceremonies for that building. 1966. Governor Rhodes was here and he made his first public announcement of an invitation to have the Youngstown College, the Youngstown University, join the state system of state colleges. And the board then went Cleveland and employed Howard Burns at the Baker Hostetler firm for guidance, because that firm had taken part in the transition of Penn College in Cleveland State University. It was familiar with legal prevails. And through 1966 and 67, I worked quite closely with Howard Burns and Alan Rorick at that Cleveland firm, developing the facts and working on the contracts and all the things that were involved in the transition. It wasn't until August 15, 67, legislation which created Youngstown State University became effective as law. Proceedings for the transition pretty well planned out and underway. It wasn't until December of 1967 that they were completed.
At that point it was ratified and Youngstown became a state university.
Well, August 15 became.
Okay. A couple of questions that I have going back. First of all, at what point now, and you mentioned in 1957, that the Youngstown University became and had changed its name to, or from Youngstown College to Youngstown University. Do you feel at that time that there was starting to be a lessening more and more each and every year of the YMCA involvement, or had it occurred much before that?
Well, that had started back in the 1930s.
One of the things that Dr. Jones told me a couple of weeks ago, when I sat down and spoke with him was, he said he felt that it got to the point where Youngstown University or Youngstown College, instead of being the tail of the dog, that was the dog wagging the tail of, and that being, of course, the YMCA, Youngstown University or college had grown to such a degree that it could not, in essence, the YMCA was sort of stifling it because of, like you mentioned.
I think that was probably true. Spending much more money a year, quarters of a year, a much bigger operation than YMCA.
Yes.
YMCA had started it, launched it.
Are the ties still close between the university and the YMCA? Do you get that feeling at all?
Yes, they're inevitably they're not as close as they were when the YMCA was calling all the shots.
Yes.
Because at that time the YMCA board had the responsibility. It no longer has that, especially since it's a state institution.
Oh. I might add that even up to this day, I think that there are numerous people that serve on the YMCA board that are members of the Youngstown State University Board.
I think that's probably true.
Yes.
I'd have to study the list.
Right.
Compare them. This history that you're welcome to read here, I need to have it taken out of the office because that's the only copy that there is. It's based on a study as to the, what was done in that whole period.
A couple of questions on the history. The land and properties that were, I would assume, owned by the YMCA through the university in 67, were they just transferred over to the university?
They were transferred to the state of Ohio.
The state of Ohio. Okay. All buildings and all properties?
Well, all real estate was transferred to the state of Ohio. As part of the legislation which created Youngstown State University and provided for the government of that body politic and corporate by a board of 9 trustees appointed by the governor with the consent of the Ohio Senate. Part of that legislation, there was a second section, and I think it was House Bill 134. Which authorized the Ohio Board of Regents to make a contract with Youngstown University, the old private corporation, for the transition of the old college into the state university. And by that time, Dr. Pugsley was here, Howard Jones had resigned, and meetings were held with Dr. Millett and various representatives of the local college to work out the details of a lengthy agreement, which is called the Agreement and Plan of Transition. This agreement was signed in triplicate as of August 15, 1967, between the Ohio Board of Regents, the Youngstown University acting by and through its Board of Trustees, was approved by William Saxby as Attorney General of Ohio, and was approved by the city of Youngstown by its Board of Control. And that agreement provided that it would not become effective until finally approved by a decree of the Common Pleas Court of Mahoning County, which was a final decree.
When did that take place?
The hearing was held in November of 67. And it wasn't final until sometime in December of 67. And as soon as that became final, this transition took place, but it took place as of August 15th. There were a lot of supplemental documents, but that was the key to it. It was a very complicated thing from a legal point of view. But to hit the high spots of that agreement, Youngstown, that's the old private university, will transfer on the effective date to the state of Ohio the premises described in Exhibit A, which is attached to it. Premises now include a total area of approximately 43 8/10 acres of land presently owned by Youngstown or under lease by it, located near the city of Youngstown, comprising its principal campus. Also 118 40 hundredths acres of land in Hartford Township, known as Trumbull Arboretum, 17.6 acre tract in Liberty Township, used as a football practice field, and a residence property subject to two outstanding life estates located at 1624 Fifth Avenue. Further agreed that under urban renewal plans heretofore approved and presently being developed by the city of Youngstown, principal acre campus will in the future include an additional area of about 16 acres known as phase two of the Youngstown urban renewal project, as to which the trustees of Youngstown have already authorized contracts for purchase and development by Youngstown, and also an additional area of approximately 18 acres known as phase three of the Youngstown urban renewal project. It's contemplated and agreed that the lands included in phases two and three will be paid for by Youngstown or by funds procured by Youngstown. The title thereto, as soon as available, will be transferred to the state of Ohio, either by deed of Youngstown or directly by deed of the city of Youngstown, but subject, however, to the obligations to develop and use the lands for educational purposes, as provided by the terms and provisions of the Urban Renewal Project. And the second, the B part, and they were to transfer to the trustees of YSU all furniture, fixtures, equipment owned by Youngstown, which are situated in the buildings referred to in that previous paragraph, in an as-is condition. They would transfer to the trustees of YSU all official school and departmental records and files maintained by the department, and to the trustees of YSU, Youngstown's assignable rights and interests as lessee under two certain leases, one dated October 9th, 64, with the trustees of the Rayon School, which covered the Rayon Building, and the other dated January 16, 1966, with the Regents, which covered the Engineering Building. To transfer to the trustees of YSU all of Youngstown's assignable rights under various leases of equipment computers, typewriters, and other equipment. Various agreements for utility maintenance and other services furnished by third parties. And to the trustees of YSU, all scholarship funds, loan funds, grants, auxiliary enterprise accounts and funds not otherwise committed, which may legally be transferred to the trustees of YSU. And special funds then owned and set apart on Youngstown's records for special student activity purposes, some of which were student council accounts, athletic funds, Gambar funds, and some others. Youngstown was to satisfy its own liabilities, real estate and personal properties were called the assets to be transferred. Second part of it said Youngstown set up a form of quitclaim deeds to the state of Ohio that were to be used, permit all personal property to remain on the premises, would deliver appropriate instruments to evidence transfer of title to that, and transfer to the trustees their rights in these leases. The objective of Youngstown and the Regents that from and after the effective date, all personnel then employed by Youngstown shall, if such personnel and trustees of YSU so desire, become employees of the trustees of YSU with a continuation of rights and tenure equivalent to those enjoyed at Youngstown. They'll be encouraged to continue their contribution to the development of higher education in this community. Without limitation, specific methods and the following provisions are applicable. And then that spelled out some of the detail on that. Till the effective date, the trustees Youngstown, the representatives of Youngstown, consult with the trustees of YSU and their representatives with respect to the operation and carrying out of the agreement, the operation of the institution and carrying out the agreement. Soon after the execution of this agreement, as the council deemed proper, the trustees of Youngstown will cause an appropriate legal proceeding to be filed in court of common pleas in Mahoney County. To obtain the approval of the court, such appellate court or courts as may be necessary to effect a final judgment, one, as to the validity and legality of this agreement, two, determining with respect to the lands that Youngstown acquired from the YMCA by deed dated February 8, 44, according to that the transfer to the state pursuant to this agreement and the use of such lands, the operation of Youngstown will not be a breach of any conditions made or implied in the provisions contained in that deed. It will not cause title to such lands to revert to the YMCA. Provided, however, determination referred to in this clause shall not be required if the question relating to reverter has become moot for any reason. That was one hurdle that we had, because there was a provision in that old deed that any transfer of title of ownership would revert to the YMCA.
Mm-hmm. So the YMCA had to become involved at that point?
Yeah, it made a party to this proceeding.
Yes.
Because of that. Except as otherwise provides an express condition precedent to the consummation, that the judgment in the legal proceeding has become final, and they define final judgment or specify that trustees of Youngstown shall not be obligated to make the transfer of assets unless they have been delivered to the trustees of Youngstown before the closing, appropriate commitment by the trustees of YSU. From and after the effective date, the names William Rayon School of Engineering and Dana School of Music will be carried on by designation of the activities in engineering education and in music as two schools of YSU. So long as buildings on the campus known as Jones Hall, Todd Hall, Kilcully Student Center, Ward Beecher Science Hall, Kling and Waddell Hall, Pollock House, and Ford Hall, the arboretum known as Trumbull Arboretum are used, the trustees of YSU, for the purposes of YSU, they will maintain those identifications. And this was all pretty carefully worked out.
Yes, indeed. Do you say that this we could have at some time, either myself or someone else come down and go through this right here, the relations between the YMCA and the Youngstown University? I would appreciate being able to do that at some time. There's probably some things in there which
you might want to pick up.
Yes, indeed.
This was really prepared in connection with preparation for this litigation for court approval, so we'd have everything available that the court might be interested.
Yes.
Because there were legal problems connected with that. YMCA had received many gifts through community chests and bequests and gifts for this, that, and the other purpose. And here it was giving away substantial property without payment for it.
Yes.
And the trustees of YMCA didn't want to be in a position of having anyone claim that they were committing a breach of their fiduciary duties as trustees of the property of the YMCA. And those things can get difficult from a legal point of view.
Certainly. I can certainly understand that.
Brief history, you know, these are the
titles of each particular section.
Part of 29, and this is a
yes.
Campaign.
The $1 million campaign that you were talking about with Leonard's case.
Corporation problems, corporation of callings, YMCA control and expansion, extent of finances raised the school, the relinquishment of control, which I sometimes call the divorce.
Yes.
Subsequent to those, college officers, related changes in college regulations, names and officers, listing of the contributors who were still living in 66 when this was prepared. Fourth part of this is sort of a summary.
I think it's listed history, didn't it, right there? It said history, historical.
Yeah, this one says historical. And then these tabs are references and extracts to some of the minutes of the various organizations.
Are these extracts from the minutes at YMCA meetings? Okay.
YMCA meetings and also college.
Because Sweet Honeycke is
might save you some time.
Yes. Well, I thank you very much for the opportunity to, at any time, to come down and review that. Sweet Honeycke has been kind enough to do the same thing with the YMCA minutes.
Yes. Well, there's see, all of these are YMCA minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Tab 1 are university minutes. Tab 2 are YMCA minutes. Tab 3 are YMCA Building Committee minutes.
Miscellaneous.
Tab 4 were miscellaneous things. Oh, there's an interesting sheet. Meeting of the trustees called for September 1927. That was Leroy Manning. ever found any minutes written up on this meeting? I don't know. I never found the actual minutes, but it described the Day College, financial operations. They had an income of $74,000.
And then the salaries?
Salaries, clerks, instructors, other salaries.
Advertising, postage, the whole bit, telephone, telegraph, social.
See, there was a deficit of $2,000. Here it lists the faculty. There were five teachers.
Faculty of the Day College.
And here are a list of the students.
I might add that the students are, let's see how, about two pages of students.
Yeah. And that was as it was in 1927.
September 20, 1927. Very interesting.
So there are little things in here that you may be interested in.
That I don't see one student there.
Here's one from Budapest, Hungary.
Right. There are a few out of, I don't see one out of state except for, there are several Hungarian students. There's one from Hungary.
There's one from Bessemer, PA, one from Columbiana, another one from Bessemer, one from Lowellville. From Brookfield, one from Newcastle, one from Fowler,
New York City, Detroit,
a couple from Girard, one from Lyle, Indiana, one from La Crosse, Wisconsin.
That's interesting.
You may find it. Thank you.
Thank you. Because I'd like to follow up. Well, thank you very much, Mr. Manchester, for taking some.